Okay, let's start it. Did you bring your Bibles? Why don't you stand up for a minute? Let's just stretch. Hold your Bible up. Say this after me. Say, this is my Bible. The inspired and living Word of God, given to all men for all ages. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. As I'm taught the Word of God, I boldly declare that I have eyes to see, that I have ears to hear, and my heart is open and receptive to the truth of God's Word. And I'll not only be a hearer, but I'll be a doer. I'll be a doer. I'll be a doer of the Word of God. As I do, I know I will be blessed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, be seated. You know, Lord just reminded me, I forgot to share something with you, so I guess we're still on the offering time. Is that okay? How many of you journal? Anybody journal? You know, I get hot and cold on it. I get going for a while, and then I kind of put it off. But, you know, one thing that even when I am journaling, I tend not to really review. And so I just sat down today and was reviewing some things that the Lord said to me. And this is something that was said that He gave to me back in 2003. Wow, was it that long ago? My goodness. But it was along the same lines that we're talking about during the offering. Here's what He said to me. He said, there is no shortage in the kingdom of God. Do you understand what that means? Do you know the difference between the kingdom and the Babylonian system? See, in the Babylonian system, there's only so much. That's why you have to fight and claw and scratch and backbite and backstab and do whatever you have to do, even to the hurt of somebody else, so that you can get ahead. In the kingdom, it doesn't work that way. There's enough for everybody. There's more than enough for it. He said, there is no shortage in the kingdom of God. An inexhaustible supply of anything I will ever need. Most of what is meant for this earth is not visible yet. That's why we call things that be not as though they are. Those people that, you know, the naysayers, well, we're going to run out of oil, we're going to run out of this, we're going to run out of that. Baloney. The biggest supply of it hasn't even been discovered yet. There is no shortage in the kingdom of God. An inexhaustible supply of anything I will ever need. Most of what is meant for this earth is not visible yet. We access it by faith to bring it into this physical realm. Don't get a shortage mentality. It's time for me to think unlimited supply. Say that after me. Unlimited supply. It's time for me, say that, it's time for me to think unlimited supply. Well, amen. Praise God. Does that encourage you? Hallelujah. Encourages me. Hallelujah. All right. Well, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. That is the text that we have been using now for many, many weeks. And we've been talking about honor and glory. How many have enjoyed what we've learned so far? Well, I'll tell you, it's been a major, major influence in my life to this point. He said in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, he said what? He said, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now tell me again, who said this right here? The Lord God Almighty, amen. How many believe that the Lord is true to His Word? That He watches over His Word to perform it? Amen? So how many believe what we're reading right here is 100% absolutely true? How many believe that? Hallelujah. And so what we must understand tonight is that this scripture right here covers every single aspect of your life. Every single aspect. Every one. It covers your spiritual well-being. It covers your physical well-being, your mental well-being, your emotional well-being. Covers your financial well-being, your material well-being. It covers success in your business, success in your profession, success in your family, success in your relationships. It covers every aspect of your livelihood. What does? Those that honor me, I will honor. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we have to understand tonight that anytime, say anytime, anytime you put your hand forth to do something, to do anything, I don't care what it was, I don't care how simple it seemed or difficult it seemed, if it was successful, what do you know? God just honored you. Whatever you do, whatever successful, the one thing you must always realize, God just honored you. And anyone in the world would say, well, I worked hard for what I have. I'm a self-made man. I am a self-made woman. Well, you know, those people, I'm sorry, they're either deceived or they're confused. There is no such thing. He sends the rain on the evil and the good. Right? It is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Yeah, amen? That this preaching of hell and damnation and brimstone that so many people, it's amazing that how many I still see that are clamoring for that kind of thing. Is going to hell good news? No. Is it? It's the truth, yes. But is it good news?
No.
But is the good news that I can be set free? That I can be out of bondage, be out of every thing that's holding, every kind of bondage that's holding me back, that I can be healed, I can be prospered, I can be protected, I can be led, I can be guided, I can have wisdom, protection. Is that good news?
Yes.
Well, then that's the goodness of God leading men to repentance. When they see the goodness of God in you, it's going to want people to say, I want what you have. Well, let me tell you about Jesus. Wow, I'm really off my notes here. That's okay. Hallelujah. I'd rather be completely off my notes and 100% on the Spirit, right, than the other way around, 100% of my notes and totally off the Spirit. Amen. You didn't come to hear from a man. You came to hear from the Spirit. Is that right? So you have to understand, you have good marriage. You had good children. You're growing, succeeding. Your body's healthy. You have a good church to attend. You have food over your head. You have clothes to wear. You have food to eat. You have a car to drive. Guess what? God has honored you. Come on. Is that right? So the question tonight becomes, are you and I able to affect the level to which God honors us? How many know what the answer to that is? Of course it is. Why? He said, for those who honor me, I will honor. So through this series, the more we learn to honor God, what do we know is going to happen in our lives? He's going to honor us greater. Amen? How many would like to be honored to a greater level? Then we need to learn how to honor Him. Amen? Can you imagine tonight, as a church, or as a people of God, if we learn to honor God more in their life, is there any limit to the amount that God will honor us? Is there any limit? Absolutely none. That's why this is such an exciting subject. This is a subject that hasn't been taught in our churches. Honor is a subject that is totally lacking in this country, in our schools, in our businesses, in our professions, in our courts. Honor, it just doesn't exist anymore in many phases. This is why I believe the Lord is having me teach this. But we understand one of the things that we've said, though, is that one of the greatest ways that God honors us is with His presence. Amen? How many would like to have more of the presence of God in your life? I'm not talking just in church. I'm talking when you leave here tonight and you go home, in your house, with your spouse, with your children, in your business, in your profession, when you're out recreating, wherever you're going, the presence of God is just overflowing. Why? You're honoring Him everywhere you go. Everything you do, everything you say, you're bringing honor to God. Amen? Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, a great way to mess that up is for you and I to begin to honor ourselves instead of honoring Him. Hallelujah. Say this after me. Lord, I desire, I am asking you tonight Show me how. Teach me how to honor you more in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you said that, you know, in the sincerity of your heart, I believe the Lord just heard that. Hallelujah. And it begins right now. Say right now. Right now. God has begun to honor you more, and He's going to teach us. Amen. So tonight, let's go forward with this. Turn with me to John chapter 8. I'm going to grab a little thing of water here. You can see I have my... Okay. John chapter 8, verse 47, he says this. In the Amplified, he says, whoever is of God listens to God. Those who belong to God hear the words of God. This is the reason that you do not listen to the words or to me. Who's speaking here? Jesus. He says, this is the reason that you don't listen to those words or to me, because you do not belong to God and you are not of God or in harmony with Him. What is the truth? Once you've truly heard the word of God, what's the truth? You're going to want more. Is that right? Once you really discover God is true to His Word, and His Word is only good, you want more of it. Is that right? Conversely, then, those who haven't heard Him, who really have no desire for His Word, what do we know about them? Well, my guess would be two things. Either they're really backslid, or they need to get born again. Right? Because once you see the Word, once you know the Word, your desire should always be to have more of this Word. Amen? Now, verse 48. So the Jews answered him. He made the statement, now they're answering back. Are we not right when we say you're a Samaritan and you have a demon, that you're under the power of an evil spirit? Ooh, man, those people. Who are they saying this to? The master of the universe. Jesus Himself, they're saying this to Him. Stay with me here. If they said that kind of thing to Jesus, don't be surprised that people will say some of the things they say to you. Amen? The servant is not above his master, is that right? Hallelujah. So, that what they said right here, if something like, let's read it again first. He said, the Jews answered him, are we not right when we say, you are a Samaritan? What are they saying? If they said something like that this in day and age, CNN would have him on the front page as being a bigot and a racist. That's what they're saying right here. See, a lot of us think, we think that racism is a modern day invention. Think again. Jews and Samaritans wouldn't even drink out of the same cup. Had nothing to do with their skin color. Uh-uh. You know, the black and white thing, that's old news. I mean, that's just an offshoot. But the root of the thing is the devil wanting to get in there and steal and kill and destroy. That's what racism is all about, and it's ridiculous. It's of the enemy. It's of the devil. Amen? But here they're talking, they're saying this to Jesus. Do you see this? You're a Samaritan and you have a devil. How did he answer him? Verse 49. I am not possessed by a demon. On the contrary, I honor and reverence my Father, and you dishonor, despise, vilify, and scorn me. Now, to those of us who know the Word, when we read something like this, we now realize what dangerous ground these people really were on. Does anybody remember what Jesus said about speaking things against the Holy Spirit? He said, words that you'll speak against me will be forgiven. But any word that you speak against the Holy Spirit, there is no forgiveness. These people right here are in dangerous ground. What are they doing? Well, what they're saying that all of the miracles, all the healings, you know, all the feeding of the people, how did all those things occur? They occurred by the working of the Holy Spirit. So they're attributing the things that Jesus did to the devil. Are they on dangerous ground? Oh, man, I'm telling you, just by His grace, amen? So what they're implying with this statement that everything Jesus did was of the devil. Everything. That's dangerous, dangerous ground to be on. And folks, we need to be careful of it even in this day and age. I mean, have you ever heard anybody say, well, oh, you're with those tongues. That tongues is of the devil. Healing is of the devil. Those people are in dangerous ground. Now, most, thank God, do it through ignorance, right? And God is a God of mercy. Thank God for His mercy. But once you know, and once you say something like that, you're on slippery ground, folks. We're not going to go there, amen? See, I believe most people say those kind of things just because they are ignorant. And again, thank God for His mercy. But how many understand what I'm saying here is this is a serious thing. And the reason I bring this up, this is the reason that I'm bringing this up. Listen closely, please. As we enter into the last great outpouring of the Spirit of God on this earth, I believe we are about to see things that we never thought we would see or experience in our lives. Things that you could never dream of seeing. How many understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is getting ready to move in an unprecedented way. The tent anointing of the 40s and the 30s and the late 30s, 40s, 50s is back. You combine the tent anointing with 40 and 50 years of teaching the word of faith. People know how now to fight the enemy. They know how to hold on to their healing. They know how to believe God for big things. I mean, you put those two things together and now the time, I mean, we live in the most exciting time there ever was to be alive. Come on, people, get excited. I mean, we are about to see some things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying to you is when we do see those, not if, when we see those kind of things, you have to be very, very careful about opening your mouths and judging something too quickly. Did you hear what I said? Especially about things that we've never seen before. And if you don't know for sure, can I give you some advice? As your pastor, keep your mouth shut. I'll say it over here. Maybe I'll get a better response. Keep your mouth shut. Because why? Even if it is wrong, I was thinking about our conversation, yes. Even if it is wrong, who called you to judge it? Remember, we talked about this very thing a couple, two or three weeks ago. Remember? What's the first thing we know when we judge somebody? You are guilty of the very same thing, the exact same thing that you're judging when you enter into judgment. The same thing. So if you don't know what you're talking about, you see something you've never seen before, do you have to open your mouth? No. Do you have to make a statement about every situation and circumstance you see? No. If I can help you tonight, I can tell you what you should say, if you say anything. Do you know what you should say? The only thing you should say is what He says. Okay, I'll try it over here. Maybe you're just thinking. The only thing you should say, if you say anything, is what He says, what the Word says. That's all you should say. We don't need your opinion. We don't need your experience. Well, I've never seen that before. Oh, really? Think of that. You've never seen it before. How long have you been alive? 50, 60 years, 70 years maybe? You know? How old is the earth? We won't go there, but you see what I'm saying. What I'm saying is not about your opinion. It's not about your experience. It's not about your ideas. It's what He says. And what He says is right. So let's look at it again. Verse 49. How did Jesus answer him? He said, I am not possessed of a demon. On the contrary, I honor and reverence my Father, and you dishonor, despise, vilify, and scorn me. Now, let's remind ourselves, what are we talking about tonight? Honor and glory. What did God say? Those that honor me, I promise I'll honor them, right? We're talking about honoring God, right? Excuse me. Have these people right here put themselves in a position for God to honor them? Oh, absolutely not. What was the second part of that scripture? He said, for those who despise me will be lightly what? Esteemed. Basically ignored. Are people still doing this today? Absolutely. And remember the word despise? It can mean everything from total disdain and disgust to simply ignoring anything that has to do with God. That's what despise can mean. It has a wide range of meanings in there. So when we're despising something, it means we're not counting it as valuable. We're not saying that this thing is precious. It has no weight to it. We're not attributing any worth to it. The things of God I'm talking about. So if they had any idea, who they were talking to, if they had even an inkling, they would have sat down and shut up and listened to what Jesus had to say. But instead they say, no, you're a Samaritan and you have a devil. Saying that everything that he did was a result of the work of the devil and dangerous ground. So let's go on. Jesus answered, I'm not possessed of a demon. On the contrary, honor and reverence my Father, and you dishonor, honor me. However, verse 50, however, I am not in search of honor for myself. In other words, I do not seek and am not aiming for my own glory. There is one who looks after that. He seeks my glory, and he is the judge. Skip down to verse 54. Jesus answered, if I were to glorify myself, in other words, magnify, praise, and honor myself, I would have no real glory, for my glory would be nothing and it would be worthless. My honor must come to me from my Father. It is my Father who glorifies me, who extols me, who magnifies and praises me, of whom you say that he is your God. You see, what Jesus is saying here, a person who has right motives and has right intentions in their life, they will not be seeking their own glory. They will always be seeking the glory of the Father. Always. Come on, somebody. And what will happen if you honor and glorify him? You won't have to worry about trying to magnify and glorify yourself and to make yourself somebody and to get people to know you. God will do it for you. Amen? Hallelujah. And folks, I'm telling you, when God honors you, that is something that no man can ever take away. You can get every honor that the world has to issue to you, but it can be gone in the blink of an eye. Just ask some of these, you know, athletes and, you know, movie stars and singing sensations or whatever that have had everything that the world could even imagine and they lost it in the blink of an eye. You know what I'm talking about. You read the news. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, when God honors you, oh, folks, that's something that man can't take away. There's nothing that this world can give you to equal that in any shape or form. Amen? So if I could share anything with you tonight, it would be this. Be advised that people can put you on a pedestal at one day and think you are the greatest thing since sliced bread. How many know what I'm talking about? Oh, man. If I had $10... for every person that's been in this church. Oh, this is such a great. Oh, I love the teaching. And, you know, where are they tonight? Because one day they thought I was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and the next day they're ready to hang me from the yardarm. If you haven't noticed, people can be fickle. Amen? That's why we should not be seeking our own glory, seeking our own honor. We should be seeking his honor, and he will make sure that he honors you when you do that. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, where do you want me to go here, Lord? I guess, okay, I'll say this. The desire or the need to glorify or magnify ourselves comes from an inner need or an inner longing that comes from our spirit. We're trying to find things in this world that will bring satisfaction and glory to us, but really the innermost being, the only thing that will satisfy the inner spirit is God Himself. That's why if we'll just seek His honor, you'll be the happiest, the most content, the most joyous, and the most exalted and the most lifted up person the world's ever seen, because God will do it. You don't have to do it yourself. And in the meantime, you'll be happy, and you can't lose that joy. You can't lose that happiness. But if you try and do it yourself, you try and do it through the world's system, you're going to be disappointed every single time. Come on, somebody. Jesus said that He did not seek glory that comes from men, but He sought only the glory that comes from the Father. And we know in John 8, He says, "For I always do," say always, "I always do those things that please Him." Wow. If we would adopt that for our lives, how different would our lives look like? If everything we did for one reason and one reason only, and that was to please the Father. Hallelujah. See, that's what Jesus, from the moment He woke up in the morning to the time He put His head down on the pillow at night, Jesus was always seeking the glory of the Father. Amen? Can anybody tell me what the result of Jesus seeking the honor of the Father was? You don't have to turn there, but Philippians 2. Verse 9, put that up for me. Here's the result. Because Jesus always honored the Father, now the Father, God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Did Jesus honor the Father? Did the Father honor Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. That's why God says, I promise. I promise. I promise I'll honor those who honor me. Turn with me, please, to Matthew 12. See, what we've been seeing here tonight is that to show honor and to show respect and to show reverence and conversely to show dishonor and to show disrespect and irreverence, our words are a vital part of the process of showing honor. And as I said earlier in this service and the series, this kind of thing hasn't been taught in the church as a whole. Honor has not been taught until just recently. And I'm telling you, we need to learn a whole lot of honor just to get us back to the position where we should have been in the first place. Not to get it, you know, and then once we get where we should be, then we can really even begin to go up. So that's why I'm so excited about this for our church. Because as we learn this in your life, everything you do in your life, and He lives, everything you do is going to change as you honor God. Everything. Everything that concerns you. Donnie, everything that concerns you. As you honor God, He's going to honor you. That's our church. You see? It's not this building. It's the body. It's the people. We are the body of Christ. So as we learn this, as we grow in our ability, in our knowledge, in our understanding of how to honor Him, we'll never be the same. Is anybody excited about this? Man, I'm telling you, I'm excited. But see, we have to understand the words of our mouth are important. Because what we say is a determining factor in what we experience in our lives. We frame our world with our words. We know that, right? We live in a voice-activated system. We have life and death are in the power of our tongue. Is that right? Hallelujah. Now, I just wanted to caution you, just because I know that most of you or some of you have heard teaching in this area before, or maybe you've heard a series or two on this subject, let's not think, please, let's not think that we already know everything there is to know about this. Okay? Will you do that with me? Hallelujah. And the reason I say that, can I say that? Okay. If we really believed, watch this, if we really believed that what we say matters, how different would our conversations be every single day? You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Right? What if every word that you spoke out of your mouth came true? Would that be a good thing? Or would that maybe not be such a good thing? I know for many, that would be probably a really scary thought. Well, do you know that that is the exact way that God operates? That everything He says comes to pass? Everything. And it lasts for eternity. But what if God just wanted to chat? What if He just felt like gossiping today? Man. That really blows me away. Get ready to be blown away, because everything He says comes to pass. And the reason I say that is because you and I are designed to function and operate the exact same way God does. Yes, be it at a little lower level, but we're designed to operate the exact same way. Amen? We're supposed to imitate our Father as a child imitates his father. Amen? We're designed to operate and to function the exact same way that God operates, just at a lower level. But you understand tonight, the principle of this thing is the same. And if we learn to choose our words and only say what we expected to come to pass and never came off it, how different would our lives be? Come on, somebody. Man, we have some room to grow in this area, I know. This is an area where we need some major mind renewal. The reason is that too many people, and I'm talking about people that are in the church, they just put their mouth in gear, disconnect their brain, and the result of what they say causes major damage in people's lives. Every single day. Every single hour. Sometimes great damage. Amen? You don't have to turn there. Proverbs 10:19, please. It says, in the multitude of words, transgression is what? Not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is what? Prudent. Let me read it to you out of God's Word translation. It says, I like this. Sin is unavoidable where there's much talk. Did you hear that? Sin is unavoidable where there's much talk, but whoever seals his lips is wise. Here's something to think about tonight. Those who are always talking are always sinning. I didn't say it. Those who are always talking are always sinning. Lord, folks, we need to learn to zip it. Amen? Did you find Matthew 12 yet? Okay, let's start in verse 33. He says, this is Jesus again, either make the tree sound, healthy and good, and its fruit sound, healthy and good, or make the tree rotten, diseased and bad, and its fruit rotten, diseased and bad. For the tree is known and recognized and judged how? By its fruit. You're in an orchard. You see a tree, you see an apple on the tree, you pull the fruit off, what do you know about that tree? It's an apple tree. You go over to this orchard, you pull off a plum, what do you know about that tree? That's a plum tree, right? You go over to this orchard down in Palisade, you pull off a peach, what do you know about that tree? That's a peach tree, right? The tree is judged and known and recognized by its fruit, right? Okay. Verse 34, you offspring of vipers. Oof. How can you speak good things when you're evil? For out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is he saying here, folks? What he's saying here is the words that you speak are the fruit of your tree. And that fruit is either good or it's bad. Hold your place in Matthew 12. Let's go over to Luke 6 for a minute. Luke 6, 45. We'll come back to Matthew in a minute. Same scripture in another written by Dr. Luke. He says, the upright, honorable, intrinsically good man out of the good treasure stored in his heart produces what is upright, honorable, and intrinsically good. And the evil man out of the evil storehouse brings forth that which is depraved, wicked, and intrinsically evil. For out of the abundance, or in other words, the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, what? So is he. Let me ask you a question tonight. What kind of person are you? If I didn't know you, and I asked you, what kind of person are you? How could I really know? The most distinguishing fruit that testifies of what kind of tree you are is what? The words that come out of your mouth. The kind of words do you speak? Are you seeing this tonight? See, what he's saying is, what comes out of your mouth is considered fruit. Right? Isn't that what he said right there? And the fruit tells us whether you're a good tree or you're a bad tree. There's no in between. Either it's good fruit or it's bad fruit. Right? He said, for out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? Your mouth speaks. Basically, let me summarize it. He's saying, whatever you are full of is what's going to come out of you all the time. Oh, you're full of it. Yeah, you are. And it's going to come out of you. You know what I'm talking about? Come on. All the time. Whatever you're filled with, it's going to come out of your mouth eventually. Now, a lot of people in church, I've seen it. They can fake it to a point. But, hope I don't screech the speaker. When the pressure comes on, then the real fruit comes out the mouth. Put a little pressure on them, boom. You'll know what kind of fruit right away. Because they can't hide it anymore. Because it just, boom. Because why? They're full of it. It just comes out. They can't help it. It comes right out of their mouth. So the fact is tonight, and you've heard me say this over and over again, whatever you're hearing all the time, whatever you're watching all the time, whatever you're reading all the time, whatever you're listening all the time is what is filling you up on the inside. And sooner or later, whether you like it or not, no matter how much you try and hide it, no matter how much you try and hold it back, it will eventually spurt out your mouth. Ask me how I know. Amen? And see, this is going to sound like a broken record, but that's okay. This is the reason why you need to be in the Bible every single day. Every single day. Why? Because whatever you fill up with is what's going to come out. Come on, somebody. We need major mind renewal in this area. And the only way we'll do it is through and by the Word of God. Amen? The only way that you can counteract the bad fruit that's coming out of your mouth is by the renewing of your mind. Amen? And when you renew your mind, now you know you can tell and you can walk in what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Why? Because your mind has been renewed. Amen? All right, did you save your place in Matthew 12? All right, let's read it again. Verse 30 says, "You offspring of vipers, how can you speak good things when you're evil? For out of the fullness of the heart the mouth speaks." The good man, now watch this, verse 35, the good man, say good man, from his where? His inner good treasure. We even sang that song tonight. It's amazing. I didn't even think about it. From the inside out. That's who we are. We are inside out people. God lives on the inside. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit live where? On the inside of you. So everything that you need is on the inside. You are an inside out person. So he says, the good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things, and the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. If you look up this word in the Greek, it means to cast it out with violence. This thing has been flung out. It's been flung out with violence out of your heart, whatever you're filled with. That's what he's saying. That's serious. Amen? And he's talking about words here. That's the context, right? Keep reading. He says, but I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give an account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. Verse 37. For by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced. I'm telling you here tonight, most Christians, Quincy, most Christians do not believe this scripture right here. How do I know? Because you start talking to people, you start, you know, asking them about things that they're saying, things that they're confessing, and they're just, oh, Pastor Chris, you know, you're just a fanatic. You know, you're just being realistic. God knows my heart. Really? What did the word say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's coming out is your heart. Oh, God knows my heart. Yeah. We know that. Uh-huh. My words don't matter that much as long as God knows the real me. I've heard people say, yeah, and God, at judgment time, God is going to take this chapter out for you, right? Right? Wrong. He is not going to take that chapter out for you. Amen? Is it true or is it not true? You tell me tonight. That the kind of person we are is revealed directly by what comes out of our mouths. True or not true? Yes or no, okay? Is it true or is it not true that you and I are being held responsible for every word that comes out of our mouths and the effects that those words produce? True or not true? Okay. Is it true or is it not true that we as individuals have to give an account of everything that we have said? True or not true? True. Well then, if the people in the church really and truly believed this, I would guess, and this is totally a guess on my part, but all the conversations in the church would be reduced by about 75%. And we laugh at that, but we know it's true. And that's the sad part. And that's where we need to change. And that's the mind renewal we have to get if we're going to be to the place that God wants us to be. Amen? How do I know that most people don't care in the church? Because it's yak, 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 yak. Yak, 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 yak. And then some more. Yak, 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 yak. Because they don't believe this. Where am I going with this? I'm just hanging there. You'll see. We're talking about honoring God, right? The Lord Jesus Christ himself told us that the one thing on the planet, the most important commandments of all commandments was what? that we're to love one another. Is that right? In other words, you could say, love is the, capital T-H-E, the New Testament commandment. Right? Is that right or wrong? Okay. He said, in fact, on this one commandment hang all the other laws. Is that correct? Amen? And he said that the world would know you by this one thing. The world. In other words, unbelievers would know you and I by one thing. The love that we have for one another. Is that true? Okay. What is the reality of most of the church today? Judging, backbiting, condemning, calling them down, calling this pastor down, that ministry down. I'm telling you, when you do that, you are on dangerous ground. Do not come to me and ask, well, what do you think about so-and-so? I don't. Well, but I mean, you know, you can tell me, Pastor, really what you... I don't. It's not mine to think. It's not mine to judge. They hear God's voice. God can speak to them. And if he needs to turn them around, he can do it. I have enough responsibility just for myself. Right? Well, but Chris, what do you really think? I don't. And I'm not going to tell you. Well, I mean, you can really tell me what you think about Joel Osteen, can't you? No. He's a man of God. Praise God. Amen. He's my brother, and I love him in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, we're having some fun now, aren't we? The whole thing is we're as a church body, not this church, but as the body of Christ, I believe we're really failing at this. Amen. And the reason that we're failing is because we're failing to keep the one command that Jesus told us to keep. And he said that we are to love one another as he loved us, right? And how are we failing? We're failing, watch this, we're failing in what we say about other people and what we say to people. That's how we're failing. And I'm telling you, over the years, I've done things that I should not have done. And what they are, they're none of your business. So don't ask me. But the one thing, I can tell you truthfully tonight, the one thing over the years that's gotten me into the most trouble with the Lord is what I have said about people. And I'm telling you, the closer you walk with God, the more accountable he's going to hold you to this thing right here. And now, you know, you may not be where you want to be, but thank God maybe you're not where you used to be. Amen? But the thing is here, this is the moment, say the moment. The moment I do this thing wrong, almost immediately now, I start getting this most horrible feeling on the inside of me, and that I know right away that what I said or what I did was not right. Because it's the Lord on the inside convicting me. And I'm telling you, the closer you get to him, again, the more accountable he's going to hold you to that. And I'm telling you, there is no worse feeling in the world. There is no worse feeling in the world than knowing on the inside that you've grieved the Lord with what you've said about or to a person. Amen? And you become grieved with it the minute you say it. And the reason that you're grieved with it is because the Holy Spirit is grieved with it. And he lives on the inside of you. So, you know, being honest with you, of all the ways that I've missed it over all these years, I've been saved since I was about 16 years old. I'm 62. Of all the ways, over all the years that I've missed it over the span of my life, the most grievous in my spirit are the things or the times when I've said things about people or to people that were not right. Why? Because it's dishonoring. It's disrespectful, it's irreverent, and it's hurtful, and it's evil, not only to man, but to God himself. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians. What is or was the reason that God gave us the ability to speak in the first place? Why did he give us this ability? Some of you may want to write this down. There's primarily two things. He gave you and I the ability to speak, number one, to create, and number two, to bless. Those are the main reasons you and I have the ability to speak. We're either called to bless, or we're called to create, or to create and bless. Amen? Did you find Ephesians 4? Verse 29. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. But only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace to those who hear it. If we were to measure and to judge every word we're about to speak using these guidelines right here, probably, again, this is just totally a guess on my part, but 75% of what we say on a normal day-to-day basis would not be said. And so how do you qualify it? Well, is what you're saying going to be a benefit to someone? Is what you're going to say, is it going to progress them spiritually? Is what you are going to say to them, is it going to bless them? If what you're about to say to them, is it going to impart grace into their life? If the answer is no to any one of those, guess what? Shut up. Don't say it. See, when God speaks, things are created or things are changed. That's it. When God speaks, things are created or things are changed. Right? We're designed to operate the same way, to function the same way. Is that right? Hallelujah. So that means that when you and I speak, things should be created or things should be changed. That's it. That's what we're called to do as people of God. Amen? Now we have to understand that we have an adversary, Satan. Satan from the Hebrew, basically means adversary. He's our adversary. But Satan and his demons, they cannot operate in this realm that you and I live in. Why? Because they don't have bodies. They're illegal here. They don't have a body like you and I, so they have no authority on the earth. But we know that they're still doing some things, right? But we have to understand, this earth was not made for them. Is that right? So what do they have to do? They have to find someone with a voice. You kind of know where I might maybe going here. What I'm saying to you is if the devil and his demons want something done on this earth, they have to find a voice to use. They have to find someone to say it for them. And I'm telling you, the enemy knows this better than most Christians do. If he wants something done on the earth, he understands that it has to be said. Come on. And when it's said, it always releases power. Always releases power. Always releases power, either good or bad. Either life or death. Either blessing or cursing. There is no in between. There is no gray area. What you say brings one of those two choices, right? So, because the devil has no right in this realm, he has no authority, but he has no problem finding Christians and putting things in their mind. And the moment it comes to their mind, it comes out their mouth before they even give a thought to what they're saying. And now, he's starting to work his plan instead of God's plan. And see, people say it without even thinking about it. It just spurts out their mouth. Understand, words can kill. Words can make alive. Amen? Now remember, I'm getting to the whole point of this evening. We're still talking about honor and glory, right? How do we honor God? We honor God by what we say to God and what we say about God. Is that right? Okay. But Pastor Chris, I would never say those kind of things about God. Yes, I understand that. Not knowingly. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, as much as you did it or didn't do it for the least of these, my brethren, you did it or you didn't do it for me. With that understanding, does Jesus take personally everything we say to or about another person? Yes, in case you weren't sure. Yes, he said, because when you do this to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. So when we speak evil, we speak bad things, we speak judgmental things, critical things about people, what have we just done? We have just dishonored God. But never in a million years would we think, oh, I wouldn't do that to God. You just did. When you, by dishonoring his people. This is sobering tonight, isn't it? But the good news is we're coming up. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the devil did not want you to hear what you heard tonight. I can tell you without a doubt, he did not want you to come. How many had a struggle getting here tonight for whatever reason? You know why? He didn't want you to hear this. Right? Life and death are in the power of our tongue. And thank God that we're, thank God that he knows you so well that he knows that you're at a place where you can receive this, where you can understand and get the revelation of this and you can move up to a higher level. Because this message couldn't be taught in a majority of churches today. I'd be out in the street. They don't want to hear it. They want their ears tickled. This is what God gave me. Turn to James 3. Thank God we're moving to a whole new level in God tonight. Say, thank God I'm moving to a whole new level in the things of God and his honor. Thank you, Jesus. James 3, verse 2. Just about ready to wrap this up. He says, for we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his body and to curb his entire nature. How can you tell if you're growing up in the Lord? The first thing you'll know is that you begin to talk differently. As you grow up in the things of God, as you grow up in his love, there are things that you used to say to people and about people that you'll no longer say anymore. Why? Because you're growing in his love. Your tone changes, your harshness changes, you lose your impatience, you lose your bitterness, you lose that lashing out tone, you lose that get even mentality. You lose that judgmental mentality. And see, when you grow up in God, yes, you can still get angry. You can still get upset. But because you're growing in God, you know the power of words, right? You know the power of those words. And because you do, you don't talk first and think later. You think now, what do I need to say? If anything, I think I'm going to go for a walk right now because I don't want to say anything. You see what I'm saying? That's growing in God. That's not avoiding the situation. That's not letting your mouth get ahead of your brain. Right? You think about it. You decide before your mouth speaks. Amen? You want to know in your heart, Lord, what would you have me to say? Lord, what would you have me to say to get the God kind of results in this situation instead of the devil kind of results? Because those are the only two you're going to get, right? And the words you say then, you say them by faith. You stand on those words and you expect those words to come to pass. You expect those words to make a difference in that situation. Why? Because you're saying God's word and you're saying it in faith. Look at our scripture again. For we often stumble, fall, and offend in many things. But if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. Now go over with me. You're in James. Go to chapter 4. Verse 10. He says, humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your life significant. How many have ever heard somebody pray, Lord, humble me? Nobody? That is a totally unbiblical prayer. Who has to humble you? You have to do it yourself. If you're asking God to humble you, he's not even hearing you. What does he say? Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you and make your life significant. Amen? My brethren, do not speak evil about or accuse one another. Let me read that again. My brethren, do not speak evil about or accuse one another. He that maligns a brother or judges his brother is maligning and criticizing the law and judging the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a practicer of the law, but a censor and a judge of it. One only is the lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy, the one who has absolute power of life and death. But you, who are you that you presume to pass judgment on your neighbor? Question mark. Whew, man, the Lord has given us a whacking tonight, isn't he? But you know what? He's going to lift us up before we're done. Hallelujah. Let me read it to you out of the God's Word translation. He says, humble yourselves in the Lord's presence, then he'll give you a high position. Brothers and sisters, now watch this. Brothers and sisters, stop slandering each other. Those who slander and judge other believers slander and judge God's law. If you judge God's teachings, you are no longer following them. Instead, you are judging them. There is only one who creates laws and judges on the basis of them. He is able to save or destroy you. So who are you to judge your neighbor? So did you hear that phrase? Stop slandering people. Stop slandering each other. Stop it. Don't slander. Don't criticize. Don't judge. Don't say anything against each other. Now, is this a suggestion or is this a command? Most people think it's a suggestion. If I feel like it, if I'm in a good mood and they didn't really rub me too wrong, you know, I'll get on my wrong side too badly. No, God said this is a command, not to talk, not to criticize, not to slander people. He didn't say, try not to do this, did he? Did you know that there are some Bible translations that will say things like that? Well, try not to do this, try not to do that. That is a bunch of garbage. If you have a Bible that says that, you might as well put it in the in the barbecue tonight and, you know, use it to start your coals or something, because it's not worth the paper it was printed on. God didn't say, try this. He said, do this. This is my command for you. Amen? Is there anyone here that's hungry tonight for the more of the presence of the glory of God in their lives? Let me see your hands. Hallelujah. Well, then let's receive this revelation tonight, can we? Because right here, what we've been talking about tonight is one of the biggest hindrances to the presence and to the glory of God in our lives and in our church is our speaking about and to other people. It's got to stop for my friends. We've got to grow in this. We've got to mature. We've got to renew our mind. Amen? Hallelujah. See, it happens so much in the church that it seems common. It just seems like no big deal. It seems like the norm in most churches. But when we begin to see this like we have tonight through the eyes of the Lord, man, it is a wake-up call. I don't know about you, but it was a wake-up call for me this week. See, many of the things that you and I thought have been big deals to the Lord. Oh, that person's drinking beer. Oh, they're smoking cigarettes. Oh, they're chewing tobacco. You know, the Lord really, it's just a bad habit. The Lord really can't, I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't care about those things, but he's not sitting there judging me on those kind of things. But those kind of things can't even compare. They're not even on the same scale as what we're talking about tonight, and that is slandering our brothers and our sisters. I know this hasn't been a real fun thing to hear tonight. But it's important that, first of all, we be honest with ourselves. It's important that we bring correction to our lives where and when it's needed. Amen? Why? Because we are going to have to give an account before the Lord of every idle, inoperative, non-working word. What kind of words are those? Those are words that don't bless or don't create. Those are what are non-working, idle, inoperative words. Remember, words are to create or to bless. Right? Okay, you ready to end on a positive note? Go over to Philippians. Let's end on a positive note. It's all positive, right? Because the Father says what? He only disciplines those that he loves, right? So if he didn't care about you, he wouldn't even have brought this message to you tonight. We talk about the Broncos and, I don't know, water skiing or, you know, what, something, hunting. We talk about, you know, something carnal. But no, God loves you so much that he had me bring this message tonight. Amen? All right, Philippians 4, verse 8. I like the way this starts. It says, finally, brethren. Take a deep breath. Say, finally. Finally, brethren. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And what's the result? The God of peace shall be with you. Take a deep breath again. Do you sense his peace? I'm telling you, the glory of God is in this place. Since the very start. But it's being manifested right now as peace. How many sense it? How many sense the peace of God here? Hallelujah. If we'll begin to take this scripture right here to heart and to think and to meditate and dwell on these things right here, then guess what's going to come out of our mouths? The only things that'll come out of our mouths are things that are true, things that are honest, things that are pure, things that are lovely and of good report. And guess what? When that happens, here's the good news. We're honoring men. We're honoring God. And God, in turn, will honor you. Amen. Stand up, will you, please?
This teaching has been brought to you today free of charge by the members and partners of Faith Life Fellowship. We would like to encourage you to help send this word to others at no charge. You can become a word sender today. For more information, please visit our website at faithlifedenver.org.